You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio, and so you can hear my new intro that did not play. Here it is. Technology, eh? Okay, that was my new intro. For some reason, I was trying to change it right before the show, and it was such a new soundbite that it hadn't updated put it into the songs that we could choose. But for some reason, it wouldn't let me kick it off manually. So anyway, that's my new show intro. Can't go without that. I love when you do new stuff, and I want it to work. So anyway, it is Kayak Fishing Radio right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. This is a Bad Backcast live show. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Backcast. And I'm glad to be here, and I hope you are too. Got a couple of Kayak Kevins in the chat room, man. How you doing, Kevin? Good to see you. And the Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, and the Big Fly Reel, Greg Becker, and a host of others. I don't know. Mark, are you in the chat room as the co-host? Mark, the landing crew?
I'm not in the chat room, man.
Oh, okay. Somebody's in the chat room as Kayak Fishing Radio. So let's get down to business here as we talk about all things kayak fishing. The Kayak Angler Choice Awards has been suspended for the meantime. Apparently, I am not. The voting has been suspended. Chip just told me that somebody had hacked it, and it was definitely not a good thing. So we got a somebody got in there and voted 2,000 votes on one and 2,000 votes on another on one ISP. So. Something happened, so we got to cut it out for a little while and see what happened and pick up the pieces. So we apologize for that. And I don't know exactly. I guess we'll let you know. Keep yourself posted on Kayak Fishing Radio LLC on Facebook, and we'll keep you posted on that. Isaac the Nothing Miller. Last week I totally forgot to include him in what's going on. And you can catch his show at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio and YakAngler.com. So make sure you tune into that if you want to know about all of these alien-looking fish that Isaac catches out on the East Coast. Tune in. He does a good job, man. Let's see what else we got going on. Kayak Fishing Classics has September. You had to ask me. I believe it's September 10th. There is a the Louisiana Classic or something. Anyway, it's a tournament going on up in Louisiana. Monster Redfish Classic or something like that. You want to check them out on the Kayak Fishing Classics website. And that's a good, decent tournament set tour to be in, man. It's pretty cool. Hey, Redfish Chuck finally showed up in the chat room. Let's get him on there. Chuck, how are you, sir?
Good, sir.
Good to have you on, man. All right, on the phones, we have the landing crew. He's in there giving the kids a bath, so he's going to be in and out a little bit. And either that or he left the windows open and the hurricane's going back through. But anyway, I'm interested to hear some a hurricane story from him. And anybody else around, if you got a hurricane story, go ahead and call the show. The number is 714-816-4727. And we'd be more than happy to hear from you and talk about your stories. Man, I know more people up there in the Carolinas and Virginia and everything than I think I know down here. So I was kind of put off a little bit by the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't have cable. I just don't watch TV that much. And so I got rid of my cable back in January. And it's not because I didn't pay the bill or anything like that. But everybody's going, yeah, right. But anyway, I got rid of it because I wanted to reclaim my life. And, you know, so watching some of the coverage on CNN.com and various news footage, they kind of blazed over, kind of blasted over the, you know, the Carolinas and Virginia and some of the other affected areas from the hurricane. And went right to New York City, man. I understand that's the big market and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I was kind of disappointed in their coverage in that respect. But I'm glad that everybody's okay. It seems that everybody I know and we all know, Jeff Madre and crew and Mark Lozier and all of those folks up there, Rob Choi and Kayak Kevin and everybody else, everybody made it through and everybody's okay, and that's good to know, man. So, anyway, past that, and let's see what else we got going on. Okay, so the landing crew's in the house. Let's see, we got Greg Crisp from New Hampshire on the phone with us tonight. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Rob?
Excellent, excellent, man. Good to hear from you. So we'll get some hurricane stories from you here, or from you too, man, here in the next few minutes. Hey, the paddling fan is in the chat room. Good to see you. And Greg Becker, how are you doing, sir? How's the American Red Cross gig? I bet you you're busy right now.
Well, the American Red Cross gig is very busy. I'm happy not. It's kind of funny that the Red Cross brought me down from New York to play with hurricanes in Florida. Kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But happy to be here, happy to be paddle fishing down here, and just keeping an eye on everything that's going on all the way up back into my home northeast.
Yeah. One thing I was really impressed with is how much wave action and nastiness the east coast of Florida got. You know, that thing was like 200 miles offshore, and I was really like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Some of the pictures and videos I was seeing from there, it was just amazing. I couldn't imagine what it would be like, you know, if it was any closer.
Well, that's the challenge. The storm was 200 miles offshore, but it was also 700 miles in diameter by the time you got done with the cloud fields and wind fields. So it was just a monstrous storm sideways, yeah.
So, but we're glad that it got past and left Florida basically unscathed. Redfish Chuck, how you doing, man? Titusville, Mosquito Lagoon. Ah, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir. Good. And no, I will not be putting any tofu on any of my pizzas.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, how was your buffalo chicken pizza? I mean, it sounds good, but you know, you could put some tofu and some tofurkey, you know, some smoked tofurkey or something on there, man. That might be pretty decent.
Yeah, I'm good, but no, it was tasty. It was delicious.
Good deal.
I'm not
going
to be putting any. Yeah, there will be no healthy alternatives used in for buffalo chicken. Sorry, it's against my religion.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's okay because today I had a tofurkey wrap for dinner, and I know that you're going, "Wow, what's with this hippie bad bat cast here, but it's not really that way. I just kind of try to look after my health. You know, I try to eat a plant-based diet, but I chain smoke. So, you know, it's in one and out the other. So.
Well, that's how it kills your taste buds, so you don't have to taste what you're eating.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, hey, let me tell you, I had some. It's very funny that you say that, but I had it was a sun-dried tomato and basil tofurkey. I'm sorry, and it was actually really really tasty. So give it a try sometime. Yeah, I know. I'm one of those left-wing liberal whack jobs. I know, whatever. But anyway, keeping politics out of it. Let's see, what else we got going on? So who's been fishing, man? Let's start at the bottom and work our way up. Chuck, you were fishing in mud the other day, man. How did that go?
Pass.
Oh, no.
It was horrible, man. Water was chocolate milk and wind was blowing.
Oh,
yeah,
bummer.
Wind was blowing. It was bad. So we did more exploring than we did anything else, but I wasn't working and I was on the water, so I can't complain.
Hey, you know, that's half the battle right there, man. But you know, being in a stink pot, that doesn't really count, you know, as far as kayak fishing radio goes. But it's okay, man. At least you were out on the water, and you know, better luck next time. We'll get them next time. No, it's okay. And Greg Becker, I'm guessing you probably haven't been fishing.
I have not. I wound up working the weekend before last, preparing for Irene to come here, and then when she decided to go north, I wound up working west last weekend, dealing with effects left behind in this area with Irene. So I'm hoping this area it's going to be relatively uneventful, or this weekend rather, will be relatively uneventful and peaceful.
Yeah, what do you think about Tropical Storm 12 or whatever Tropical Storm, what is Katia?
Yeah, I think it's Katia. Yeah, I think it's Katia, and she's out there, but
yeah.
Doesn't look like at this point anyway. It's way too early to tell, but I think there's a pretty good chance it's going to wind up staying out in the Atlantic. Probably not Florida. It's got a chance at the Outer Banks north, but we'll see what develops, I guess.
Yeah, I really like. I got to tell you, I saw that you know because you reposted something on Facebook, and I found that that guy that Levi guy that Tropical Tidbits man, and that's some pretty interesting stuff right there. And, you know, I know it's not a forecast or anything like that, but it really does add a lot of logic to that sort of thing. So it's pretty cool. I got to say,
he does a great job of summarizing the models and explaining
right.
what the possibilities are based on the models. So. It's a great learning tool for people who want to do that without getting into meteorology too much.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Greg Crisp, man, you've been fishing? What's happening? Hello?
Yeah, I was able to get out right before the storm on Saturday. I was going to head out to the coast, and conditions actually looked pretty good Saturday morning, but I figured with people pulling the boats out on ramps and stuff like that, I just didn't want to be around there Saturday. So I just hit the local pond with my son and got into some nice largemouth and had a good morning. So,
well, I've been told
sort
that
of nice
like
to see, look.
I've been told right before a hurricane, it's really good fishing, man. So anybody that. You know, once you've already boarded up your house and, you know, it's that calm before the storm and you already got your hurricane supplies and everything, get out there and get fishing before that thing comes in and before everything starts deteriorating. And I've heard that that's when, like, the bite is just insane during those times. I don't know for sure. You know, I've never personally done it myself, but it's always a good, you know, it makes sense because it's like that during, you know, with cold fronts and stuff. So I don't know why it wouldn't be any different with that. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, there's let me put a pimp, promotion in here for Chuck. On his show last night, he had the guy from mountthis.net, and it's 10% off. If you heard about them on Kayak Fishing Radio. He had mountthis.net, and check them out. If you're looking for a nice mount, you caught a nice fish, you got a picture of it, they can make it for you and paint it up and make it look really nice for you. So it'll be awesome. So go ahead and check that out. Chuck is always, finding out about this kind of stuff. Oh, goodness. Well, had a good long week, and didn't get out fishing this week, but it was the Dick's grand opening was this weekend. So I went over there and stocked up on some, had some good specials going, plus a coupon, plus some specials, some DOA products for buy two, get one, and, you know, Miradine's buy one, get one, and things like that. So it was cool. Had a good time. Got about $40 worth of stuff for about $20. So that's never a bad thing, and you can always use that kind of stuff. So the brand new Dick's in Countryside and Clearwater, give them a shot if you're in the area, if you need anything. I'm not crazy about, super chain stores like that, but, sometimes the getting's good there. They had Chuck will be proud. There was what do you call this? Shimano Stratix, Chuck's favorite reel there for $99 out the door. Is that a pretty good deal on one of those, Chuck?
Yeah, $99. I would have went over and bought them.
I think it was either a 3,000 or 4,000.
Yeah, they probably did that as a promotion because they're about to change the reel for this upcoming year.
Yeah, they were saying that they were just about out of them, that they were selling them like crazy. But I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good deal. I didn't get one, though, which I really needed to. All right, man. What else is going on? Oh, man. Let me see if you have this. Let me find my article here. Okay. Dateline, Clearwater, Pinellas County, Bay Area, Tampa Bay region, react to me. Tampa Bay algae bloom threatens estuary's fish. Basically, it's almost, they're saying it's not a red tide, but it's close to it. Look towards the water when you drive across Tampa Bay this weekend, and you might see a strange scummy cloud the color of rust. Yes. So people in Florida, and I'm sure it's like this in other states too, but this is why they don't allow you to fertilize certain times of the year, because this sort of thing happens. And it's very, very, very bad for you. And it was in the St. Pete Times, and let me see if I can post the link. Sorry, learning curve, Mac. Bear with me. Don't fertilize your yard when you're not supposed to. They don't sell it for a reason, and they only sell each person X amount. I know it's terrible. I know, but you're not supposed to have a golf course yard living in Florida. I don't know if that'll get it or not. I don't know if I got the whole link in there. Sorry, Mac, learning curve. Don't do that, man. Here, let me get the rest of the entire link in there. Apologies. Don't fertilize if you don't have to. I know everybody wants to look like it lives on a golf course. But it's really not necessary. Greg, do you guys, Greg Crisp, do you guys have laws like that in effect up there?
Not really. Some of the lakes, the nicer lakes around, try to limit it. But there's not a lot. There should be some, but pretty much just local programs trying to make people aware of it, hoping that they do the right thing.
Yeah, because what happens is if you over-fertilize your yard, whatever, your yard looks great, and that's nice, you know, it raises the value of your neighborhood and everything, and your home, and I appreciate that, and I understand that. However, you know, all of the, you know, during the rainy season, all of the stuff washes into your gutter out in front of your house. Then it goes into the stormwater drain, and then it eventually filters out, you know, to the intercoastal or to the bay or wherever it is that you live near. And if it's a river or something like that, and it feeds out into the, you know, and basically what happens is this algae, you know, gets the nutrients from the fertilizer and things like that, and it just, everything just explodes off of this, and it turns into this, you know, this quote-unquote, you know, kind of a red tide type thing, and it's not good. So kills the fish, and it next thing you know, you got fish laying all over the beaches and laying all over the shoreline, and it not only does it screw up all the beachgoers and everything, but it screws up the fish in pretty bad, too. So the fish try to stay away from it, the ones that can get out. So, you know, obey the rules, man. I know that there's always people trying to get in and trying to get out, but that's your... Now, I'm not going to complain all night about this, and I'm not turning into some environmental hippie, but you got to take care of your fishery, too, or else, you know, you're not going to catch any fish. So please be mindful of that. Okay.
Hey, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. I mean, you've got the article in front of you. I was doing a little bit of research with a couple folks about that. How much of that, is that the area around the Howard Franklin that you're talking about?
Yeah,
because I know that's kind of
it. It's between the Howard Franklin and Old Tampa Bay, which would be Safety Harbor area.
Right.
Which is a pretty good, that's about half of the bay.
It's a big stretch, but I know around the Howard Franklin, one of the things I noticed when I was looking at some of the hydrography, if you will, for that area, is the water around there really doesn't move all that much.
Right.
And that's part of the, this time of year, it just heats up so much that the oxygen content drops low enough that I think that's also part of what triggers those algae blooms. I mean, the fertilizer contributes no matter where you are, but I think that's a big part of it.
It does. But this is the first time in 3 years that we've had any sort of an algae bloom, red tide or anything else related. And, you know, that's a good thing. So ever since they put that law into effect, I'm not blaming just the people that fertilize their yards, but that is a contributing factor to it, you know. And I know that the people are always trying to get over. If you say, you know, don't do that, you know, people will go, yeah, okay, and then, you know, nod, wink, wink, and, you know, I got a couple of extra bags of fertilizer in my shed, you know. So, excuse me. Let's see. Yeah, it says it's the first bloom in the bay since the ban on sale or use of nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizers began. Tampa's going to ban it next summer. Wow, the biggest bloom in history was in 1971, stretched from the Skyway to Safety Harbor. Unbelievable. That must have been a bad one. So that's your environmental tidbit of the night, and I apologize if I offended anybody. Well, not really, but I'm not trying to offend anybody, and I'm just go by the rules, and we won't have this sort of thing. Come on, I'm trying to unmute you, Mark. There you go. Mark, is that you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, how you doing, man? You been fishing lately?
No.
Of course not.
Hunkering down.
Oh, hunkering down. Yeah, we'll get to you and your hurricane story here in a few minutes. The paddling fan says let's see if I can butcher this word. Milorganite, Milor Gannite, a natural fertilizer made from, well, sewage. It meets the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency exceptional quality. Okay, so there you go.
And a little tidbit for everyone else. Instead of using fertilizer, go down to the beach, if you can, and pick up all the seaweed you can find. throw that in your compost and watch what happens next year when you plant your seed.
Or, you know, you just don't clean up after your dogs. And there you go. Your yard will look great. In a, you know, certain degree.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kidding. Anyway, let me see here. I got one thing. All right. Got an email here. Okay, the email bag this week is brought to you by yakangler.com. And email says, "Dear Rob, how often do you clean the fittings on your kayak?" By fittings, I'm guessing you mean like the rivets and stainless steel screw ends and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't do it every time. I'll admit to you. I know you should. Some of my fittings look like crap, but if you just hose them off with a little bit of water and, you know, maybe some of the clips that you use for your, you know, to buckle your seat in and stuff, you might want to shoot those with WD-40 once in a while or something like that and keep those loosened up. But, you know, I don't really spend a whole lot of time on that sort of stuff. You know, I basically give it some water and wash it off with a little bit of a towel. And, you know, that's about all I do on it. By the way, your seminar was awesome. Glad I was able to be there. And when can we get together and fish? Tyler in Sarasota. Hey, Tyler, anytime you want to. And this goes out to anybody else out there. Anybody want to go fishing? Shoot me an email. We'll get together. And I'm more than happy to go with anybody. So it's rob@abadbatcast.com. Okay. Seminar was awesome, by the way. We had a great time. There was about 60 people there. And everything was, it was really good, man. My brother couldn't believe that I stood up there and talked for like an hour and a half about kayak fishing. He said, I'm nervous for you. And I'm like, why? You know, it's what I do, man. This is, you know, I don't know. I'm not nervous. It's just, you know, I said it's just like the radio show in real life. So we had fun, gave away some Badtastic prize packs and among some other stuff. There was a lot of MiraLure products there and some 12 Fathom products. And it was really cool, man. There was a guy there that had makes knives by hand, you know, like nice fishing knives and things like that. And it was really, really nice stuff. Fine craftsmanship. Who is that? Who is that? Okay.
Not me.
It stopped. Thank you. It was just the landing crew. He's working his second job at the bowling alley tonight. And he's resetting the pins tonight, so he just didn't get the mute button that time. I'm just kidding. So, okay, Mark, tell me your hurricane story, man. How was it? Do I need to put some dramatic hurricane music on for you? It was a dark and stormy night. It was a dark and stormy night right there in Richmond.
Richmond's annoying to me. It was surprisingly, I was expecting worse. But you know, we had a good 4 hours of it blowing pretty hard. Rain, a lot of wind. You know, a hurricane, basically. Had some water come up, but nothing huge, you know what I mean? Nothing like the Outer Banks saw when she first rolled in. But everything out here has been pretty dry recently. So a lot of it kind of soaked up. Yeah. And it wasn't all that bad. I mean, you know, considering that, you know, it went, you know, during high tide, it surged, you know, five to six feet. above normal level. I mean, considering we had a nor'easter 2 years ago that pushed 7.5, almost 8 feet. You know, this thing
wow.
was absolutely, yeah. She didn't hit us as hard as North Carolina did. I mean, Route 12 down there in the Outer Banks is absolutely gone in some spots. You know.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
There are spots where
I saw some of that footage where the
that are gone.
I saw some of that footage where the road was just gone, you know, and it looks like they put a couple of new, you know, passes in there. So hopefully they won't fix them and they'll just leave it go. And it's some new fishing spots, man. It's great. You know, the
yeah.
pavement's just structure, you know. No, but I'm glad that,
oh, yeah.
it, you know, everybody that we know up there did okay. It's always scary when that stuff, you know, one of those hurricanes comes into your region, man. I remember 2004 all too well, so it's very,
hey,
very
you know
scary.
You know what the funny thing is?
What's
we're
that?
Sitting there, and the whole storm, I didn't lose the power once. I had the lights flicker two or three times, nothing huge. Didn't even reset my clock on my alarm. The next day after the storm, I guess that would be Sunday. Sunny, not a problem. Around noon,
that's after it.
My power
after
goes
it. Up. Is that
yeah,
after it
after storm,
had already passed through?
Yeah, lost the power for 4 hours. I was like, really?
For 4 hours, that's it.
Yeah, and that was after
Man.
The storm.
Man, in 04, that I lost power like for a week, and for. Like two of the three storms, and they came across the state, you know, from the East Coast. It was
right.
Gene and Francis. Paddling fan says, don't use WD-40 on your fittings. Use lithium, white lithium grease. That's a good tip. Sorry, I use WD-40 and it hasn't rusted on me yet, but I will switch to that
yeah.
stuff because I know that it works. Good stuff. Well, that's good, man. That's good that you had a, you know, that you came through unscathed and, you know, all of that. That's cool. Good deal.
I had my hurricane escape pod set up on my truck. So that I was always a.
What's your weather station now? What happened with that?
We got a good enough blow that. My backyard has a white plastic fence around it, and that's where I had the weather station put up.
What
it
is
was high
it?
Enough that it.
What exactly
it's
is
one of those,
it? Weather stations.
It's an outdoor little weather station. You see them all the time. They got the little, you know, spinny thingy that tells you the wind. Well, this thing told me the wind, the barometric pressure, humidity, temperature, and everything else. And it relayed it to a docking station inside.
Okay.
I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the wind. I'm like 75 miles an hour. Wow, that's hurricane force. Cool. All of a sudden, I looked at it again because it started beeping. You know, no signal. I'm like, what? Went back and picked up the blinds and looked. It's gone. I had a quarter-inch lag bolt holding it to the plastic thing. You know, it can't pull it, a lag bolt. Pulled it right out and ripped the whole plastic off. And I found it Sunday, about 300 yards from the house.
Did it work? Did it still work?
No, it's destroyed.
Ah, oh, man. Hey, you know, another good thing about us being into kayak fishing, you know, a hurricane comes through and all the streets are flooded. You just drag it out your front door and out into the street and kayak down the street. Hey, I'm
yeah.
going to the store. Need anything? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Apparently, people were doing that in somewhere, I think, Connecticut or New York, and they were, I guess some people were getting hurt doing that, so they were telling them, no kayaking, please. I think that was on the Paddling Fan Facebook page. Where is it? Yeah, Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Everyone
well,
should stay inside.
Yeah.
Do not kayak. So... Let me see if I can post that story. Yeah, isn't that funny?
Huh.
Man, I keep I keep forgetting that, you know, I can't copy and paste with a Mac anymore.
What?
Well, no, I haven't figured it out yet. I got to do it the old-fashioned way with right-click. Okay. Where is it? Paddling Fan is a great source of information there. So, like their page on Facebook. There it is. CB Kayak 02, welcome to the show. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Log in, log out, log in, log out. So good to see you. Here we go. WD-40 is not a long-term protectant. It is a water displacer, light-duty lubricant, and light-duty penetrant. That is very good, Greg. And you're right. This is Greg Becker. Yes, any oil will attract dirt and dust. And I'm sorry, people that are listening to the podcast, I'm not just rambling random stuff. At least not any more than usual. This is just stuff that's going on in the chat room. People are talking about WD-40, whether or not it's good. What is it, bad? Is it good? WD-40, react! React to me, Mark, in Virginia Beach.
What?
Is WD-40 good or bad for you?
WD-40? I guess you can eat it.
Whatever. To spray it on your kayak fittings, like your seat clips, things like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. No. Maybe.
I
wouldn't put it on. I wouldn't get it on the plastic if you can help it on your kayak.
It's just fish oil.
Really. Fish oil. Come on.
Yeah. Ever read the ingredients for WD-40?
It cures arthritis. Yeah, you know, it's like, my fix-all, okay, this is what I use to fix everything, is you just put the NyQuil on it, okay? You break your leg, you just rub some NyQuil on it, man. It'll be all good. NyQuil's my fix-all. So, oh, man.
Anyone who's ever been in the Marine Corps or Army or anything else knows.
Yeah.
That a canteen and 2 Motrin fix everything. Blew off your leg in an IED? Fix. Don't worry about a tourniquet. Don't worry about the bleeding. Take 2 Motrin and drink a canteen and call me in the morning. For everything.
Okay. What if you go to the seedy side of town and hang out with questionable women? Same thing?
What's that? No,
I knew you would react
to
that. That's funny.
No, you started breaking up, and I heard citing women, and and I was like, "What? Now we're talking? Yeah, right." Sounds like a Wednesday night
kidding.
Show.
Yeah, no, no, that's cool. That's good to know. So, yeah, the debate is it good? Is WD-40 good? Good or bad?
If you're Kayak Kevin, who fishes every day of the week, WD-40 is fine. If you're a guy who can get out once a month, skip the WD-40, go with the white lubricant, luminol stuff. I don't know what it's called. But, yeah, use that stuff. It's going to be on there longer, and because you're
white
not using
lithium,
the kayak every day.
White lithium grease.
White lithium. Yeah.
Yes. No, that does make sense to me. You know, it does last a little bit longer, and that little spring in there, you know, might not get all jammed up and stuff with the corrosion and salt water nastiness that builds up in there. So, either way, it's going to attract dirt, sand, salt, whatever. I don't know, man. I just fish from the thing. Hey, there's Chuck. Chuck's back. Hey, Chuck, how are you, man? Oh. He just unmuted himself. Muted, unmuted. Okay, there he is. Chuck, how you doing, sir?
Good.
I'm glad that you called back in. Are you going to weigh in on WD-40?
On what?
The WD-40.
I don't use it.
Okay. Okay. Do you do anything to your fittings after you've been out in the salt?
On the kayak?
Yes.
Or on the reels and stuff? On the kayak, I don't really mess with it too much.
No, like things like, you know, your C clip and your C clips and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. I hate to say it, man, but the last time my kayaks got a bath was, that long ago. So, I don't really worry too much about it. I mean, if they get soaked with the salt water, then I rinse them off with a garden hose. But other than that, I don't mess with them too often.
No, I agree on that. I agree on the lithium thing. That it's definitely going to hold up a little bit longer. So I do agree with that. It does hold sand. Greg is right. Greg Becker is right. I'm sorry. I'm just rattling off stuff in the chat room there. So no, I'm not mad. Well, I am, but not really. Kevin says, fix all is gel super glue and duct tape, man. Ain't that right?
Oh yeah, but you know you can really, you won't have to use the grease if you take care of your stuff. You know, after fishing, as you're doing your reels and everything else with the light soap and or mild soap and water, just hit your fittings on your seats for the detachable seats, and that's all you'd ever have to really do. Just get the salt off.
Well, I have to do a sponge bath on my kayak, okay? Because 9 times out of 10, the apartment complex hose is going to be all screwed up. So I don't have the luxury of hosing off my kayak every time I use it. So what I do is I have 2 gallon jugs of water, and in the little grassy area adjacent to my apartment, before I take it upstairs, I put 1 gallon on one side of it and 1 gallon on the other side, and then I wipe it all down with a towel. That's basically the extent of, and then I stick it behind my couch in my living room, and my kayak is good to go until the next fishing trip. And that's basically the extent of me washing my kayak. Now, if I'm lucky enough and I do put a quarter in the apartment complex hose and it works, then good. I feel like it's like a bonus, you know, because then I can really hose it off. I don't use soap and all that stuff. I just use water and hose it off, dry it off. Life is good. Okay, Greg Crisp is dying to get in here, so go ahead, Greg.
Well, you know, my thing, and this is going back, you know, to motorboats and when I was one of those evil jet skiers and stuff like that, you know, the biggest thing is I just rinse mine with water.
You were an evil jet skier?
Yes, I was, but, you know, I rode one of those stand-up ones that required skill, not those sit-down ones that, you know, any moron can rent and ride.
Those damn kids have today. No.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
So what do you use?
So during the season when I'm fishing, you know, every week or even multiple times a week, I'm just rinsing my stuff off in water, just plain fresh water. I have a garden sprayer. Normally, when I get off the water, you know, Rob Choi posted that article a few months with the garden sprayer.
Yeah, that was a
lifesaver.
Love that
so
idea.
So I get off the water. I hose down my reels initially with that and my rods. And then when I get back to the driveway, I just, you know, I don't have to deal with an apartment complex. I just hose down the kayak real good, the seat, everything. You know, even if it's just fresh water to get rid of all the plant material and stuff like that I picked up, just to rinse. You know, and that pretty much covers it. Now, when I do put it away for the winter, I will use normally a little bit of grease, and I'll put that on the rivet heads or any exposed metal, because I have to deal with, you know, 4 months of snow in winter worth of storage and, you know, trying to get the the metal covered at that point. But during the season, it's just pretty much a freshwater rinse. Make sure you chase away the salt that way. And,
yeah,
you know, like... Go ahead.
No, with mine, okay, I had some water in my kayak, and I didn't get it all out, right? So it was sitting in there. Well, I store my kayak on its side behind my couch, okay? Yes, it is part of the living room furniture. That is its home. When I first got it, I used to, you know, it used to be on the other side of the bed with me. So, but ever since I got past all of that, it stays behind the couch. And what I do with it is I make sure that I, you know, well, anyway, some water got inside of it. And, you know, I'm going to pick the thing up one time and the side handle came off. Well, I'm like, what in the heck? You know, it's stainless. Come on. How can this be? You know, so I looked at it and it was like, sure enough, you know, there was a little bit of water in there that laid all over that fitting, and it just corroded it and ate it. And salt water will eat anything. I don't care if it's stainless. If it sits in salt water, it's gonna get eaten.
Now,
yes.
If you had a galvanized fitting instead of the stainless, it would last a lot longer.
Well, it wasn't very good quality. I can tell you that right now. I was pretty disappointed in that.
Everyone thinks, oh, stainless steel, you know, it's the cure-all. No, all the stainless steel is just has a little bit more nickel and other properties in it that make it shiny, you know. But if you wanted it right, you go out and buy some galvanized bolts and galvanized rivets and use those instead. It'll save you a lot of heartache.
All right, area code 386, you're on the line with Kayak Fishing Radio. Hello. Area code 386, who is it? They dropped. What happened? We'll call back in. I didn't get an ID on that person. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mark. All right, Chuck, you don't do anything special?
No.
Just, okay.
I don't care if it falls apart.
Who am I missing here? Oh, Greg Becker, you didn't get to weigh in on WD-40. And what do you do to keep your kayak clean?
Well, I'm two different things. I use WD-40 quite a bit on stainless stuff just to rinse the salt out of it after I rinse it off, especially a pair of black stainless steel Mustad pliers that seem to be rust magnets instead of the rust-proof they advertise. But I'll spray a little bit on the brass and stuff, just on the seat fittings and stuff like that, just to displace the water and get it out of there. I know it's going to be done by the time I get back out there, but I try to rinse everything off as well as I can with water. My kayak's not necessarily a good representative because it's a fiberglass and Kevlar kayak. It's not a roto-molded one, so I do try to wash that down, get the salt spots off it so it doesn't sit there and eat the clear coat. And then I haven't waxed it yet. I'm certainly not going to wax the bottom side. You don't want to wax the side that's in contact with the water, but it'll probably get a coat of wax before the winter on the top half. My other boats are just a brush and some soap and salt water. Murphy's oil soap actually worked pretty well the last time I cleaned them up. I like Chuck's pledge on the fishing rods. I thought that was my own little accidental find secret about 20 years ago, that I accidentally sprayed some pledge on a fishing rod that was on the table. I was cleaning up something else. I said, wow, that looks really nice. And I've been doing it ever since. And then I find out, like, everybody else on the planet knows about it. You know, and the only thing you can clean pledge off with is WD-40. So it all works out well.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. That sounds I never heard that, man. I never heard that trick. Out of all the years I've been fishing, never heard of that. The pledge.
Yeah. Pledge stuff, dude. I'll tell you how I found out about it. One of the guys that used to work for the other tackle shop I worked for, he did all the rod and reel repair. And one day I brought him in some of my reels to just go through because I was lazy and just didn't feel like doing it myself. And he's like, what have you been spraying on your reels? I'm like, nothing. I mean, I wipe them down, I clean them out, whatever. I mean, I might give them a light mist every now and again, but that's about it. And he's like, oh, man, you got to use Pledge. Pledge is the answer. This guy is like the Dr. Quinn of reels. You know, like, if it doesn't matter what's wrong with the thing, he can figure it out and fix it with a piece of bubble gum and a toothpick, MacGyver style. But, yeah, he told me about that, and he told me just to spray some Pledge on a Q-tip and go around the rings of the guides themselves, and that'll kind of help to dissolve a lot of the salt and eat up all the extra little minerals that come out of the water or off the tap water that tend to rust up, you know, inexpensive guides. So, yeah, Pledge is the answer, I'm telling you.
And it'll also keep the water from sitting on there. When it does get on there, it'll bead up and run off instead of leaving the deposits on the rod finishing the surface. Used to do it on all the fly rods in the shop. Make the, make the $100 beater rod that the guy brings in on consignment look like a $300 deal sitting on the rack.
That's a great idea. I never even thought about that, man.
And if you use Lemon Pledge, then your rods and reels smell good.
That's true.
Well, that's important, man. You know, and Chuck, are your kids named Walker and Texas Ranger?
Yeah, you would think so. No. Trey and Logan. Actually, Charles Thomas Levi III and Logan.
If they weren't raised to be rough and tough, you would have named them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman, right?
That's right.
Sorry, just a little bit of stupid Ricky Bobby humor. Anyway.
Nothing wrong with Ricky Bobby.
Huh?
There's nothing wrong with Ricky Bobby humor.
Yeah. All right, it's time to go around the room and talk about who all is going fishing this weekend and what are you fishing for and all that stuff. So we'll start with Greg Crisp from New Hampshire. You got any fishing plans this weekend, Greg?
Well, if I can get across the flooded state of Vermont right now, my plan is to go up to Lake George for Labor Day weekend and do a end of summer hurrah and do some fishing up there. If not, I will hitting some local ponds again.
It's almost September 1st up there. So, and I forgot, in that, you know, that area of the country, September 1st means get your skiing stuff out, right?
Yeah. So it's fresh water, is going to actually start getting really good again up here. The fish are really going to start feeding and fattening up. And for those of us that have to drive to the coast and aren't residents, it also means that you can actually park at most of the launches again along the ocean and not worry about having your car ticketed or towed while you're fishing. So
that's always a plus.
Yeah.
Well, no, I thought that was pretty funny, Greg. You said in the wintertime, instead of ice fishing, you go, give the kayak fishing gear a thorough cleaning. So that's a yep. good idea, man. You got to do that.
Yeah. spend the long days, just taking each reel down, stripping all the old grease and stuff off, and putting them back together and making sure they're all lubed and ready to go. And sooner or later, the ice melts and you get to go fishing again.
Well, if you do that, you'll keep your no matter what kind of reel you have, it'll last forever. So that's a good idea, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I'm still using a couple of old pins that I was using them with my grandfather when I was like 7 or 8. So, they weren't new then. So, still have a couple of them kicking around.
I have a couple that I got from the mid 90s that are still just working great, man. Okay, Greg Becker, you going fishing this weekend?
I certainly hope so. Going to try and get out at some point, assuming nothing. nothing else happens. Junior Flywheel has been bugging me to get back out. He pointed out to me this evening at dinner that it has been an extremely long time since he got his first time out in the kayak, and he's looking to go again. So looking to get out and see what's going on. And I will mention you mentioned another tournament beforehand. I mentioned next weekend is the paddlefishing.com. You pick two tournament where you get to pick two lures and take them with you, not two different brands, two individual lures, and take them with you, and that's what the whole thing is about. It's on the south shore of Tampa Bay. It's a good time for anybody who wants to come out.
Yeah, that is that's a pretty good concept. So if you lose your two lures, you're out, right?
Yep, that's it. And you can't change them. They got to be in the same condition, you know, the same configuration they were when you started. So if you start with a trailer and lose it, then you're done. You can't put another one on. But it's a good time. If you're interested, go to paddle-fishing or paddle-fishing.com and take a look at the information if you're down in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, cool concept. And that's going on this weekend?
That is actually next weekend. It's the 10th. I believe the 10th is next Saturday.
You know, we were over in your neck of the woods the other day, last week, or the week before. Yakushi was in town, and we were fishing there by just north of the Tico power plant there in Apollo Beach, or I think you call it Allenville or something over there.
So where'd you fish? Bullfrog? You fish out of Bullfrog Creek, or?
I don't know if that was it. We put into a drainage ditch on the side of the road amid massive fire ants and mosquitoes, man. It was more mosquitoes there than Mosquito Lagoon.
yeah,
but
sure.
We got out there, and Yak-Sushi got a slot redfish, and there was a couple of dink trout and ladyfish, but that was about it. So it was
How
cool.
was the water clarity in there?
It was middle of the road.
Yeah.
Lots of manatees, though.
And they're out there.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a good time. You know, it looks like that would be a great fishery in the wintertime or in the fall, probably, I would say. So it was pretty cool over there in your neck of the woods. I always wanted to fish over there. I was like, you know, I was asking my buddy, I'm like, you know, what about Cockroach Bay? I keep hearing about Cockroach Bay. And he said, no. You don't want to go to Cockroach Bay because there's more people there than there are fish. So we stayed away from there. So it was cool. But anyway, that was that's awesome, man. And good luck. Are you fishing the tournament?
Yeah, I plan to. My wife's going to be out of town. I think I've got arrangements for Junior Fly Reel. So, again, it is my plan to be out there having a good time.
Well, good luck to you, man. And if you win, make sure you make sure you get a word out there for Kayak Fishing Radio. Oh, man. I'm just kidding with you. All right, Landing Crew, are you you fishing this weekend amidst the wreckage from the hurricane?
Yeah, I've got to start pre-fishing for the Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association Fish for Charity Tournament coming up on the 24th of September, I think it is, only a couple weeks away. I had the bass pretty much dialed in before the storm moved in. Drove by the area I'm going to be fishing at, and there's some new trees that are down, and everything's kind of changed on the lake, so I've got to dial that in again.
Which a lot of new structure out there, eh?
Yeah. Two or three cool days of fishing that, and I'll be dialed in and ready for the tournament.
Good deal. Is that this weekend or next weekend?
The 24th, so I guess three, maybe four weekends from now. Next month sometime. So.
Okay, cool. Chuck, are you fishing this weekend, sir?
I'm going to try to. I'm going to try and get out and go fish the port and see if I can't round me up a delicious snook.
Are you going to do this you going to do this in the kayak this time?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Sir. I sure am. I'm going to take the Native Ultimate 14.5 this time and see if I can't get me a delicious snook.
Well, best of luck to you, man. I think that's awesome. And if anybody can do it, I know that you can, dude. So take the camera, take the GoPro, man. See what we can get, and make sure you take the buggy whip too. You know.
Yeah, I'm pretty
look in the
sure
backyard.
My son pawned.
The kids keep all the good stuff in the backyard.
I'm pretty sure he pawned it.
He pawned it. Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm going fishing this weekend. I know that. It's Labor Day weekend, and I'm hoping to get out multiple times. I know definitely I got some new intel, and I wanted to fish it last weekend, but the wind kept me off the water. So this week, we actually went and checked it out on lunch today. So on lunch break, we went out to the spot to see if we could launch off of the seawall right there. But it's about a 6-foot seawall, so it doesn't look too promising. And I know most people would be like, 6-foot seawall, hey, I'll get in there. But no, it's definitely, I'm not the most coordinated of fellows, and neither is my buddy. So we're going to launch from the other side of the intercoastal and paddle across, which is about a 40-minute trip. And the good news is there was tons of bait fish there, greenbacks and finger mullet, and it's like right at the mouth of this feeder creek. So high tide is I believe 3:41 a.m. So we're planning on launching from our launch point on the other side of the intercoastal about 1 o'clock. So we had to get there about an hour or so ahead of high tide. And then when that tide starts dropping and that creek starts, water starts going out of that creek, we think that that's really where it's going to pick up, right at the mouth of that creek. Because there's an oyster bar right out the mouth of that thing. And water gets running pretty good out of there. And there was tons of bait out there today, man. I mean, right there, right next to the seawall is great. So that's the plan. And apparently my reliable intel has told me of a very large snook and very large redfish in that area at night. So that's my plan this weekend. So I'll let you know how we do. See if I can take some pictures, get the GoPro going. I'm curious to see how that thing will film at night. So if I'm successful, I'll, post some videos, I'm sure, but I've got to make sure that I've never shot with it at night before, so I have no idea the quality. So, and I don't know if they're a brand new area, so I don't know if it's well lit or what. So hopefully we'll be good. So, and then give me something to edit. Man, I just need something to edit. I'm like pulling my hair out here, not having something to edit. That's what I got a Mac for, man. So anyway, I'll let you know. Make sure you check out, keep your eyes posted on thebadbatcast.com. Follow me on my Twitter. That would be a Bad Bat Cast on Twitter. You can follow the links on the sidebar on my website, thebadbatcast.com, to find my Facebook page. Because if I had to tell you how to find that, I couldn't tell you. but anyway, that's the plan this week. Make sure you check out yakangler.com if you're into kayak fishing. That's your ultimate resource. I'm interested to see when Kayak Kevin's new DVD is coming out. I saw the trailer the other day, and it looks fantastic. So make sure you keep your eyes peeled for that, too. I'm sure Yak Angler will have a big announcement when that comes out. And Redfish Chuck, Chuck's Kayak Adventures. Have a nice weekend, sir. We got Greg Becker, who I don't believe has a blog, and Greg Crisp at yakfish.net. So and pro staffer at yakangler.com, amongst other things. So give all that stuff a shot, and I am your host. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening to the podcast, if you're not listening to the podcast, if you're listening live, make sure wear your PFDs, take a kid fishing, and good luck to everybody this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Rob DeVore, Bad Bat Cast, and I will see you later. Later.